7,000 people will die in the United States today. 99% of these folks don't even know that we exist. This is our biggest problem. It's bigger even than the worldliness, disinterest, and religious error of the masses. We are not getting the gospel to the whole world or even to all of the United States. The masses don't even know that we exist. Does that bother you? The overwhelming majority of people in the world have never met a member of the Lord's church. That is a serious problem facing the church today. There will always be a segment of the church content with, as Alan Bailey put it yesterday, maybe others have, maintaining. But we know that maintaining is really a euphemism for waning. What is a more grievous error than disobeying the Great Commission? Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, "Go into part of the world and preach the gospel to a few creatures." No, that's not it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. With 7 billion people in the world and 300 million people in the United States, obeying the Great Commission is an enormous task that demands our whole heart, every fiber of our being, and every resource at our disposal. I'm so glad to see the topics that we have this year. I've already learned and look forward to learning more. The church has issues, and we must fight against religious error. But if I'm not careful, I can become so consumed with bad news that I don't have enough time, I don't have enough energy, and perhaps I don't have enough inclination to promote the good news. In other words, I can become so preoccupied with the battles within that I neglect the lost without. God's people had a daunting task in Nehemiah's day. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. "Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. As one old gospel song put it, "It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Let's fight the battles, brothers, but like Nehemiah, let's keep a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. I must resist with equal boldness the enemy's attempt to remove the weapons for defending the kingdom and his attempts to remove the tools for building up the kingdom." What does Satan most hate? I was surprised this summer during a meeting in Texas when I heard a preacher on the radio say that the scripture that Satan most hates is Acts 2:38. He wasn't one of our preachers, and I guess we can all imagine why he said that. He was projecting his hate of Acts 2:38 onto the devil. But really, what does Satan most hate? Satan hates when heaven rejoices most. Jesus says heaven most rejoices, Luke 15, when a soul is saved or returns to God. So next on Satan's most hated list is a sinner hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the parable of the sower, we see the seed, which is the word of God, Luke 8, verse 11, fall on four types of soil. Satan ultimately wins the battle on three of the four types of soil. We see with the wayside soil that Satan snatches away the word of God from the hearts of men, Matthew 13, 18. But if Satan can keep the seed from hitting the soil entirely, he is even more pleased. So Satan hates the gospel seed hitting the soil of the human heart. Satan hates gospel preachers. Satan hates gospel sermons. Satan hates the gospel on TV, on radio, online, in print, from door to door, in Bible studies, and even open Bibles. Satan, that old serpent with all his wiles and cunning, strives to hide the gospel by blinding unbelievers and blocking entirely, whenever possible, the light of the glorious gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. Satan hates the following scriptural sentiment because he knows his agenda is being hindered. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. What Satan despises, we must love fervently. While grieving my brother's falling away, Dad told me that he would revenge their loss by stealing souls from the devil. And he did. We need urgency. We need intensity. We need an unquenchable fire for the loss from which the devil cannot distract us. Consider the beatings the apostles preached through, like that in Acts chapter 5. Ponder the stripes, the stonings, and the shipwrecks through which Paul persevered in spreading the gospel far and wide. Perhaps we devote too much time to the 90 and 9 and give up too easily on seeking the lost sheep. Nehemiah 6, verse 2 through 4, Sanballat and Geshem said to me, saying, "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono." Dad always said at this point in this passage, "Oh no, not the valley of Ono." "But they thought to do me harm, so I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?' But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat his servant sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, and it was written, 'It is reported among the nations in Geshem that says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king.' It's all about you, Nehemiah. You're a bad man. And you also have appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, 'There is a king in Judah.' Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together." Then I sent to him saying, "No such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart." Likewise, the devil relentlessly attempts to keep us from our greatest work, fulfilling the Great Commission. A man approached a highly respected preacher and told him, "You know what? I don't like the way you do personal work." The preacher reflected and responded meekly, "Well, I'm not really very satisfied with how I evangelize either. How do you evangelize?" The critic replied, "Oh, I don't evangelize." To which the preacher answered, "Well then, I like how I evangelize more than how you don't evangelize." This morning, Jimmy Kading and I are assigned to share a couple of tools that we have found helpful in fulfilling the Great Commission. Not every individual and not every congregation will use the same tools that we are using, and individuals will use different tools in different ways, and that's fine. But my hope this morning is that by focusing our attention on evangelism, all of us will renew our resolve to be more zealous in seeking the lost and erring sheep in 2015. My assignment is evangelism through Let the Bible Speak. This involves a number of forms of modern media and forms of technology unavailable to our first century brethren. Television, radio, newsletters, tracts, DVDs, CDs, websites, YouTube, Facebook, telephone, and email. I appreciate Ronnie Wade on behalf of the Mission Hills congregation in Springfield asking me to be a speaker for Let the Bible Speak about 6 years ago. A host of devout men have shared in this work in the past. Clovis Cook, Johnny Elmore, Ronnie Wade, Tommy Shaw, Irvin Barnes, Ron Alexander, Reggie Kinzer, Clint DeFrance, Saganti Lazarus in India, and likely others that I am unaware of. Current speakers are Juan Rodriguez in Spanish, Kevin Presley, Brandon Stevens, Shahe Jurgen, and myself. All the speakers have understood that the power is in the gospel, not in the preacher's eloquence or intelligence. And so all the glory for any good goes to God. None of these men, when they started doing the TV program, became wealthy like televangelists in the world, but rather just took on an increased workload for the kingdom. Optimally, I think we would have a panel on this topic. And since we do not, later I'll be sharing perspectives of other brethren on Let the Bible Speak who are unable to be with us this week. So why invest the Lord's money evangelizing on TV? Well, the average American watches 34 hours of TV a week. On the Lord's Day, dozens of religious broadcasts bombard truth-seeking individuals with religious error. Presently, on 35 different stations in the United States, a potential audience of 63 million people, or 20% of the United States population, in addition to all the religious error, is now exposed to the truth and to the closest faithful congregations. In some markets, we have as many as 20 congregations and 5 evangelists to follow up on these contacts. There is a huge difference between potential audience and actual viewers, but we rejoice that those seeking the truth in the United States have it so readily available in so many places. The Ozarks have benefited from the program airing for 50 years. I couldn't help but wonder as I listened to Ronnie give the statistics and the numbers of growth and how the church is going in different places, if how much the TV program has affected in a positive way churches in Missouri as well as in northern Arkansas. Thanks to decades of consistently Bible-based sermons from Ronnie Wade and others on NBC and Springfield, Let the Bible Speak is the number one rated religious program in the Springfield market, receiving more than double the weekly viewers of the other Church of Christ programs that air later in the morning on major networks. Rentrak ratings show that 12 to 15,000 people are up at 6:30 in the morning to watch the program every Sunday. On this chart, for example, the program on Sunday morning, this is for the last month or so, outperformed. Its ratings were higher than CBS News Monday through Friday. This chart is for 5 a.m. to noon, 7 days a week. It includes ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, the CW, PBS, and My Network. The average number of viewers that we had during that five-week period was 14,143. CBS News averaged during the week 12,139. NFL Today on CBS at 11 o'clock on Sundays averaged 11,900. Good Morning America Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. averaged 11,800. James River Assembly of God was the next highest rated religious program on Sunday morning, but also during the week from 5 to noon, and they had 8,000, an average of 8,000 viewers. At 10:30 a.m., Know Your Bible averaged 4,209. That's a Church of Christ program. At 7 a.m. on CBS, In Search of the Lord's Way averaged 3,827 viewers. Of course, as you might expect, not everyone is pleased with Let the Bible Speak. We receive plenty of hate mail. I even received my first death threat last year. Many individuals and even congregations have been converted through the years from the program out of Springfield. 15 of our 60 that regularly attend at the church in Mountain Home are there as a result of the TV program. This includes a cup preacher. It also includes a regular teacher who appears to be eldership material. 10 others have been converted at Mountain Home through Let the Bible Speak, but have passed away or fallen away in the last couple of years. While 20 to 25% of the membership of all the other 20 or so congregations in the Ozarks may not have been converted from the program, many in the region were. Some have passed on, ready for the judgment day. Many more worship faithfully every Lord's Day. 35 markets presently air Let the Bible Speak in 21 states: Alabama, Arkansas, California, Georgia, Iowa, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Most of the markets are just beginning to air the program. Six markets have just had it less than a year. 13 markets less than 2 years, 16 markets less than 3 years, 23 less than 4 years, and 31 markets less than 5 years that are currently airing. One of the challenges that we face is, for a lot of us, this is something new, and learning how to do this in the best possible way takes time. Well, it's impossible to factually quantify the long-term benefits of the program, but an interesting incident at Mountain Home a couple years ago gives me pause. A Cups preacher walked in our church building before services Sunday morning and said he had been watching the TV program for some time and had been considering what we had been teaching about the Lord's Supper. He said he was about to decide that we were right. He said he was going in for his 6th open heart surgery. The doctor said he didn't think he would survive, but he didn't have a choice. The preacher said, "I need to be sure that I'm right." The message on religious authority that morning was relevant for him. He made a confession and took his stand with us that morning. His wife did a few weeks later. His brother and sister-in-law in the Springfield area regularly watch the program. We have had several Bible studies with them, and they have attended a gospel meeting at the new congregation in Bolivar. This converted Cups preacher is an excellent song leader. He's taught for us and has helped with evangelism at the local nursing home. Months later, though, after he was converted, I was surprised to learn that he had watched Kevin Presley out of Dothan years ago when he lived in northern Florida. He was exposed to the truth and resisted for whatever reason, year after year. It took years, repetition of hearing the truth, our presence in those two markets where he lived, and a major life change before he acted on the truth. Kevin planted, I watered, and God gave the increase. People continue to discover the program, even in Springfield, after 50 years, and sometimes respond to the gospel years later. What about these souls? If the TV program had only gone 40 years or 45 years, I need to remind myself how serious eternal life is and how valuable each soul is. It's easy for me to remember how valuable my soul is, but it's not as easy for me to remember how that nameless, faceless person out in the world, how valuable their soul is. Matthew 16, verse 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Imagine all this world's riches in one pile. The value of one soul is greater than all of that. And a historical event helps impress this on my mind. The tragic sinking of the Titanic in the frigid waters of the North Atlantic over 100 years ago makes me shiver. The image of 1,500 people drowning in the icy waters of the North Atlantic is horrific. Worse, though, is the fact that those safe and nearly all the 20 half-filled lifeboats nearby just sat and listened to the cries and the moans and the shrieks and the groans and desperate pleas for help. Boat number 14 was different. Its passengers went to great lengths to rescue others, but managed with all their heroics to rescue only 15 people. If each of those 20 lifeboats would have had the same passage, passion, 20 times 15, perhaps 300 could have been saved. But there is a much worse catastrophe waiting the masses. Let's be like boat number 14, because we all know that there will be torment in hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and we don't want that for anyone. And let the Bible speak as one tool to help rescue those drowning in sin. Irving Barnes sent me the following email. He says, I'm a strong proponent of preaching the gospel on TV. Without radio, TV, and internet, I fail to see how we're going to accomplish the command of our Lord to preach the gospel to every creature in all the world. TV remains the most effective, most cost-efficient way to spread the gospel. The TV program remains the best catalyst for personal work. Hundreds have been visited or studied with, several converted, by preachers and other brethren in southern Missouri and northern Arkansas through the program. It was my privilege to preach on TV for over 6 years from Springfield and Neosho, Missouri, Louisville and London, Kentucky. I consider my time on TV the most challenging and by far the most fruitful and rewarding work I have been involved in with 50 years of preaching. I was involved in the beginning of the work at Mountain Home Harrison in Huntsville, Arkansas. The TV program was an integral part of the beginning and growth of these three churches. Jimmy Kading, age 14, discovered our program out of Louisville. He lived with his bedfast grandmother, a sister, his mother Elsie, and stepfather Sheldon Hawkins in their home at Corydon, Indiana, just north of Louisville. He and his grandmother set an alarm so they could get up at 6:30 to watch the program every Sunday. Jimmy requested information through the mail. His comments were promising. Walter Hunter made a special effort to locate this family. The church at Bedford arranged for David Griffin and me to hold a mission meeting. The Kading and Hawkins family attended. With some effort, a church was established the last Sunday of our meeting. You know the rest of the story about Jimmy Kading. I can't imagine the Lord's church without Jimmy Kading today and his family. And I know that there are more out there just like him. And maybe one of them will turn on his TV in 2015 and find Let the Bible Speak. Irvin continues, we were criticized by a few who felt the program was too expensive. Some said there were no churches in the area. Who would run the leads, etc., etc.? It is my opinion that if only a couple had been converted, the value of their souls is worth a million times the program's cost. I wonder if the program had not been supported at Louisville, what would have been done with those funds? Irvin asked me if I'd ever broken down the program cost per viewer. In some markets in which we are presenting the gospel, we're doing so to a potential audience of 20,000 people for every dollar spent. That's 200 potential viewers for every penny. Because Mission Hills has to pay for production and airtime, Springfield is likely the most expensive program airing today. Based on the number of actual viewers in the Springfield market, Mission Hills spends 5 to 6 cents to get a week to get the TV program into one household. And put a list on, in addition to that, of 20 faithful congregation before their eyes to advertise letthebiblespeak.com with 250 different sermons in video, audio, and transcript format. And to bring a 30-minute program with two gospel songs and one gospel sermon. That's the cost to print one page of black and white text. One stamp costs nearly 10 times this amount. Now, we value highly our bulk mailing discount. We use it to distribute 300 copies of the monthly Let the Bible Speak newsletter to TV contacts closest to congregations in the southern half of the Springfield market. On this, we have a list of the sermon topics for the month. We have the time and station of the TV program. We have the website. We have about a 600-word article. We have a list of area congregations. In that red space, we have a scripture for December. But usually we have written there area gospel meetings. And we have our YouTube channel on that as well. We value highly the newsletter. In the northern half of the market, Brad Shockley sends his monthly newsletter, The Visitor, to nearly 250 Let the Bible Speak contacts. We feel the cost to print and mail the newsletter is money very well spent. Yet per household, for us, it costs Mission Hills only 7% of that amount per person to produce and to air the TV program. Several other markets mail out their own newsletter with the same information. One of the things that we also, on the bottom, I didn't have a picture in this one, but we promote a different tract or a different material that people can request. Ronnie's tract, The 12 Reasons to Investigate the Church of Christ, The Blood of the Lamb by Steve Bowen. From time to time, we promote the booklet, The Lord's Supper, Unity in One Loaf and One Cup. And through these combined methods, we've been able to circulate over 1,200 DVDs on the three-part series from the TV program on One Loaf and One Cup, and nearly 10,000 booklets have been distributed to members and non-members. Recently, Eric Trigestad, the 40-year-old editor of the Christian Chronicle, recently requested a copy of the booklet through letthebiblespeak.com. We're not responsible, as Ronnie put it in the close of his message last night. We're not responsible with people's response. We're responsible with getting the information before them. And these tools are a great help in that regard. In addition, we send a Let the Bible Speak newsletter by email to over 400 members and over 500 non-members. Let the Bible Speak helps isolated congregations like Casper, Wyoming, Klamath Falls, Oregon, Kennewick, Washington, Amarillo, Texas, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Greenville, South Carolina. These congregations feel connected to the brotherhood in a way the church directory and church papers do, only in a more personal medium with the face of brethren, congregational singing, and weekly preaching. Put yourself in the shoes of the brethren in areas where churches are sparse. Let the Bible Speak helps brethren get started spreading the gospel in small ways and prepares them for greater opportunities. Matt Enos lives in the Iowa market where we only have two or three faithful congregations in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. He writes, "One thing that impresses me about the program is the ability to encourage brethren across the country to work together while still maintaining each congregation's autonomy. Brethren are given a chance to break out of their comfort zone, knowing that if they need help, someone is always willing to assist. It has done a remarkable job bringing everyone together and providing a good mix of sermons." Shane Hilton is in an isolated congregation in Baton Rouge. He says, "The program has generated more leads in the short time that it has run here than all of the years added together without the program. It is definitely a good work and something that needs to be continued." Heath Jordan in Klamath Falls, Oregon congregation. "My part in the Great Commission up to the airing of the program in our area was limited to my friends, family, and co-workers. I had not searched, nor had I been asked for pamphlets by anyone, so it was a very large change for me when I started to get leads in my area and just beyond. I keep the cards handy for whenever I stop alongside the road and help anyone. They help me to give all the glory to God whenever I am thanked for my efforts. I log each of the leads so I can keep track of where I am at with each one. At least once a month I review the list of leads to make sure none fall through the cracks. I am actively corresponding with a couple enrolled in the correspondence course, and one of them shares them with a group of ladies. The biggest change for me is more confidence talking to my co-workers about God. The conversations are happening more often, and there seems to be genuine interest where there was very little before." He's not an evangelist, he's just a congregational teacher. Wayne McCamey labors in the Waco market. I asked him to assess the benefits of Let the Bible Speak. He wrote, "I'm glad they asked you to do the presentation. I have some random thoughts that may help. Your quick turnaround time about the contacts is a strong point. Quick response time to the contacts, about the contacts, and follow-up to the person and to the brethren. This is outstanding and crucial. When someone calls the 800 number or sends an email through Let the Bible Speak on Sunday morning, by Sunday night, an evangelist in each market or a church leader has that information and can follow up the first thing the next morning. Connectivity, Brother McCamey says. Personal availability on the net, availability to show up in person at the local churches, endeavoring to be all things to all men, adapting self and vocabulary so the common people can hear gladly. Of course, that's what all the Let the Bible Speakers attempt to do. Handling aright the word of truth, a good balance of relevance in Scripture, ancient truth and modern setting. Every scribe instructed brings forth things old and new, willing to take a stand for and against, always operating off the sacredness of truth. So vital to instill this that in somewhere the that somewhere the listener will find some truth he doesn't like or is hard. The sacredness of truth will help him see him through, able to leave the impression that he knows more about the subject than he can deliver in the time frame. Your ability to hang with, inform, convince, stimulate to action, able to do a smooth finish in the wrap-up crunch. This is what I see you do and what anyone with a program should do. This is what makes our program different from all the denominations and why people respond to our preachers. Some question the effectiveness of the program. Either they've misunderstood our assignment, or I have. When sinners and erring brethren hear the truth, have we not been effective? Will God's word not do its assigned work on the hearts it hits? If we don't understand this, it's no wonder our congregations are shrinking. I can guarantee you, if the gospel is not heard, the gospel will not be obeyed. Romans 10, verse 14 through 17. Is it effective? Kevin Presley had a meeting in Fort Smith last year. 90 people visited from the TV program, and one obeyed the gospel. I call that success. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, I have not come to baptize, but to preach the gospel. This was not much different from 1 Corinthians 3:6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We know our denominational friends are mistaken when they say Paul meant that 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, in that place, that baptism was unimportant. In telling of his own conversion in Acts 22:16, Paul says baptism was necessary to wash away his own sins. Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 1:17 that his priority was preaching the gospel. He taught publicly and from house to house. Then any who were astray, who received the message in faith, would demand baptism or repent and confess wrongs and ask for prayer. Randy Ballard in the Houston area has received three contacts from the Dallas program, and two of those three have been converted. One is now teaching. Let the Bible Speak has been airing in Columbus, Georgia for 4 years. Sonny Fling is a gifted, persistent personal worker. He writes, "This program has brought numerous responses over the years, and we still have responses each week. We are able to contact folks in areas where no Christians live." That, by the way, is the attitude of those who are having evangelistic success. We are able to contact folks. Each week, I continue to send out many correspondence courses, and most every week begins new ones. After the first six courses, I get to meet, I love that, those folks and hand out more study material and talk to them about church, salvation, and other subjects as they arise. I've set up Bible studies with many of them. I call that success. I have learned, Sonny says, it takes more than one visit to get folks to commit to serious talks of the Lord's church. We have had more than 250 responses from the program that have resulted in 5 baptisms, 11 coming out of digression, making confessions, and taking their stand with us. Extended family members of those have become members, and we continue to study with some of them and look forward to the day we will have the opportunity to assist them in baptism. I was there earlier this year. They've converted about as many people as they have members. He goes on to say, without the TV program, we would have never reached any of these folks. Someone says, with all of that preaching over the last 6 years, and you can point to less than 100 converts, that's not very effective. Well, I think you'd see it a little bit differently if you were one of that number. Some of you have knocked doors and continue to knock doors. Imagine going door to door, only instead of knocking on every door, you could cherry pick and knock only on the doors that had a sign in the front yard that said, "We enjoy a cappella singing. We enjoy biblical teaching from preachers from the Church of Christ. We want to know more about the Bible." If they had that sign on the front door while you're going door knocking and you were just going to those doors, would that not be enjoyable door knocking? Well, that's essentially what the TV program does for evangelists and other evangelistically minded Christians. Frank Brancato writes, "Let the Bible Speak has been by far the single best lead-generating source I have seen. We started airing the program about a year and a half ago in Bakersfield and have been able to generate 32 contacts from the website and 800 number. When we add referrals from those original contacts, we have about 70 leads. About 80% of these leads have started a correspondence course, and about half have completed it. We have set up studies with some, and a few others have attended at least one service. One lady from the Cups Church made a confession and took her stand with us, and another has obeyed the gospel. I have also had privilege of working leads in the Oakdale area. I'm in the process of training two young men on lead follow-up and door knocking. On my last visit there, we knocked 600 doors promoting the TV program and invited folks to a gospel meeting. We have found mentioning the TV program to be a great approach in avoiding resistance at the door. We were delighted to see several come to the meeting from these efforts. I have also," Frank goes on to say, "recently started calling leads in the Bay Area with similar success. I began all calls telling them about the correspondence course, and 100% of those wanted me to send it. Most initially requested a copy of a particular sermon, but now are on the correspondence course. I've also scheduled two studies for when I get to San Francisco in February. One man from the Cups Church in Benicia promised to come to services with me when I come. He said he is disgusted of what the church has become in that area. Let the Bible Speak," Frank says, "has allowed us to get excited about the process and not worry about the results. Our job is to plan and water, and God will give the increase when we find good, honest hearts. One of the great benefits of Let the Bible Speak is that all of these are qualified. These are all qualified leads. They have all watched the program, heard a sermon, know we are members of the Church of Christ, and they still call in. I called a lady yesterday in Bakersfield and invited her to services this Sunday. She said she already knew the address of the building because she saw it on the end tag and would love to come. Again, a qualified lead. I would never have known about this lady without the TV program." Frank Brancato knows what a qualified lead is. He made his living as a district manager selling World Book encyclopedias before he became a painting contractor, and now later more as a gospel preacher. How have some of these men been so effective? Part of it is their extreme love for the lost. Part of it is natural giftedness. I wish I was as gifted as some of these men. Part of it is patience, and part of it is persistence. Do you think Frank sold encyclopedias by walking up to someone and saying, "These encyclopedias are $1,000. You want a set?" No. Doesn't work that way. Some of you may have read the book Muscle and a Shovel by Michael Schenck. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. If you were a Christian, it will strengthen your understanding of the gospel and the distinctiveness of the church. It will also help you hone your evangelistic skills. I believe I'm going to do better in that way. We should never stop trying to get better at standing behind the cross. There is such a thing as the offense or the offensiveness of the gospel. That's hard on erring sheep. We can't help that. Unfortunately, and intentionally, we sometimes pile on top of the offense of the cross our own personal offensiveness by our own brashness and our own impatience. This combination is often more than erring sheep can take. Are they still responsible? Sure. But we haven't been as much help to them as we could have been. Muscle and a Shovel provides, really, I think, a tutorial on evangelism. Whatever kind of lead I am working with, I need to develop more of a muscle and a shovel protracted approach versus the one strike and you're out approach that perhaps I sometimes have used. LetTheBibleSpeak.com has converted people who have never seen the TV program. The most impressive example that I know of is a couple in their 20s in South Carolina, converted over a year ago after watching numerous videos. Kenneth contacts me through Facebook a couple times a month with Bible questions. He's also studied with Alan Bailey. This couple continues to drive 90 minutes one way to worship with a faithful congregation. They've been doing this for a year and a half. This man has been assertive in sharing the gospel with friends and relatives and has converted at least one of them. Through LetTheBibleSpeak.com, the Let the Bible Speak YouTube channel, and Let the Bible Speak Facebook page, the TV program has a nationwide and even international reach that supports and reinforces the efforts of brethren in Mexico, Central and South America, Africa, the Philippines, Australia, and more recently, Cambodia. I have heard secondhand of concerns about the TV program, website, YouTube, etc., going where we do not have congregations. I am thankful that Mission Hills promotes the spirit of the Apostle Paul in spreading the gospel far and wide. Romans chapter 15, verse 20. I have made it my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Kaufman says of this verse, Paul had deliberately undertaken to proclaim the gospel of Christ to the entire world, which he knew, evidently believing that every city on earth should hear the gospel once before any should hear it repeated. Mark Alley, Wesley Cockrum, Trent Dan, Rich Thompson, and perhaps other individuals have labored to make LetTheBibleSpeak.com a worldwide evangelistic tool. All the analytics we're about to notice are provided by Google. They are not simple page counters that track every click or view on a page. These reflect visits by a real user that day. Multiple visits by the same user are not included in these results. The date range is January the 1st to December the 12th of this year. So far this year, LetTheBibleSpeak.com has had visits from over 400 foreign cities in over 100 different countries. We had at least 10 hits from 25 foreign countries and at least 20 hits from 15 countries. The United States, we had right at 20,000 hits from 2,100 cities. 12,000 of these were from desktop computers, 5,800 from mobile phones, 3,000 from tablets. These on the board show, this shows the countries, the darkened areas, where Let the Bible Speak has been accessed, letthebiblespeak.com. The leading areas where the website has been accessed are Brazil, the Philippines, Italy, India, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and the Netherlands. 44 United States cities have contacted, picked up our website with over 100 website sessions. 10 cities with over 500 website sessions. Springfield has had about 1,200 and Dallas about 1,400 website sessions this year. Thanks to Trent Dan's tireless efforts, we have over 60 video previews of the program on our YouTube channel. Our 27-minute videos of the program have had considerable viewership for that length. People don't tend to watch videos that long. One video has been watched over 1,000 times, 4 over 500 times, 28 over 200 times, 108 videos have been viewed over 100 times. I'll conclude with Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It's important to know your audience. And knowing this audience, for the most part, I've saved the discussion of the challenges and difficulties regarding the TV program for the question and answer session.